We are in to the happy hour. Tony Gwynn Jr., Matt Scraby. And having a good time. Big Five just finished.
It's very interesting how when Chris is not here, the Big Five ends up on time.
Well, there's only two voices.
I just ask the questions. I never say anything.
Yeah, no, I think you kind of...
I've never added on to a conversation.
You may not add on, but you keep the conversation going sometimes. And, you know, sometimes your questions are actually good, and it causes a longer discussion, you know? That can happen like that sometimes.
I will take that compliment, and I will run with it.
As you should. The 5 o'clock football hour is presented by Buffalo Wild Wings, where B-dubs is football. Visit Buffalo Wild Wings every Wednesday for half-priced apps and $2 off all drafts.
If you're getting a draft at a restaurant, let's say Buffalo Wild Wings.
B-dubs.
Which draft are you getting?
They have
the basics, the Coors Light, the Bud Light, Budweiser.
I don't do the basics.
Miller
I'm kind
Light.
Of a beer snob when it comes to that.
Ooh.
They have what is it, Elysian?
Oh, I've heard of that. Yeah.
Little IPA.
Ooh.
That's usually where I'm going.
As IPA,
a good, not double. Start getting in like the 7.5s and higher. That's headache town for TG. So I try to keep it at 7.5 and lower on my IPAs.
I agree with you on that. I used to drink the strongest IPAs in the world just because they had good
instant
alcohol.
Instant headache.
No, I just did it. I was just going for it. Jacob says Stella on draft hits. Dominic says Elysian Space Dust.
Space Dust, that's what it is.
See, I mean, why didn't they have all these cool beers when I was drinking?
Yeah, man, you know, you went too hard too early.
You had to tap out.
Natty
Light.
Yeah, you know, I wasn't a beer drinker at the time, but all my roommates, Natty Ice, Natty Light, was Red Ribbon.
Oh! Wow! Red Stripe.
Red Stripe.
I never liked Red Stripe.
Yeah, I see why.
It's a Jamaican beer, I believe.
No, not Red Stripe. Not Red Stripe.
Not Red Stripe.
I believe it was Red Ribbon.
Let me look up Red Ribbon. Oh, was it Pabst?
Pabst.
Oh, that's the Blue Ribbon.
Blue Ribbon. I knew it was a ribbon in there somewhere.
Oh, I've had many of Pabst in my
life. Yeah, dog. That stuff. It smelled terrible.
I think yes. I think they had at Goals games a while back. They had
tall boy
deals,
super cheap,
yes.
Right? And so, a bunch of college kids. That's how typically you have to account for your beer. It's got to be a certain price. Can't splurge like that at that point.
I was talking to a friend, and we were reliving the days of our party days, and it was such a focus of mine to make sure that I never lost sight of my beer. I was always carrying my pack of beer. You know that in college when you just carry around like half-drank boxes of beer from house to house?
First of all, I don't know too many people who have half-drank bottles of beer.
It's like a 12-pack, but it only has like six in it or something. I'm just carrying it around all night and putting it between my legs because I don't want to put it on the ground.
You don't lose it
because
you know it'll go.
That's all. And then I have to go steal someone's beer and I have to be
Did you do that? Were you a beer thief?
Never. I mean, you're talking to a guy who was an alcoholic. I certainly did things I'm not proud of.
Fair enough.
Stealing beer from the roommates is... You know, Tony, one time I did the whole thing where I drank out of my roommate's liquor, and then I put water in the vodka, and thinking I was a smart genius, and the guy drinks it, and he's like, did you water this down? Just like, no problem.
Immediately.
Yeah, immediately.
You put way too much water in there, apparently.
Yeah, way too much water in there. Anyway, that was a fun convo.
That's pretty interesting. Little recap. Cy Young Award winners named today. Tariq Skubal in the American League. Chris Sale in the National League as a Brave. He won it pretty easily. Correct? Yeah.
Yes.
Sale won it pretty easy. Skubal won it pretty easily. We will have the big award tomorrow. MVPs. Should not be as much
drama
behind it.
There is a growing movement of people out there thinking that Shohei isn't such a slam dunk MVP just because he's a DH. Like, I see the the criticism of, oh, can't wait until the DH is an MVP.
It's about to happen.
It is about to happen.
It's about to happen. And, you know, it goes to show you the different magnitude that this is. Because for all of the conversation that we just finished having about the rookie year,
yes,
and East Coast bias,
I don't know. I
Shohei
can do this
Ohtani
anymore. Oh, he
is certainly on the West Coast. He's going up against Lindor, who's probably the second MVP. Ketel Marte is in Arizona. I don't see him getting a whole lot of love. Barry Bloom might have him though.
Ketel Marte might have Ketel Marte.
But it just goes to show you the magnitude. Shohei Ohtani it's a different level.
I know that he's great.
It's not just that
Major League Baseball helps.
It's not just that he's great. It's that he has an international appeal.
Yes, he does.
That's completely different than anybody in our league, quite frankly.
I'm sure the executives saw the numbers of that game between Yu Darvish and Yamamoto being... like at 9 a.m. in Japan, they had more viewers than they did here, and MLB execs were just like, that's where it's at right there.
And
we
so
need to tap
when
into that.
Shohei wins this award tomorrow, it how does that affect the East Coast bias argument? Because clearly somebody's staying up to watch Shohei play on the other side.
I do think that MLB chooses players to market more than others, and Shohei is one of those.
Why do you think they chose to?
Well, because he's
Shohei.
An international superstar.
Okay, so it's not like they are going out
but
of their way.
But that doesn't defeat the East Coast bias. It just means that they, if they put a little effort into things, Major League Baseball could promote West Coast players.
I'm not disagreeing with you that it doesn't mean that the East Coast bias is defeated. But you know, he does have an international appeal that no one has. Would this be different if his name was, let's say, Mookie Betts or Freddie Freeman?
Yeah.
You think it would be different? You think Lindor would have a much better chance?
I do.
Let's say they had the same years, right?
Same exact years. I do. Lindor plays in New York.
I think you're right. I think that's what makes this unique, is that Shohei is an international star. I think yes, he had a tremendous season where he created an own club for himself. All of that factors in. I'm saying if Mookie or Freddie Freeman had done that, would this be the same year Shohei, would this be a closer race with Lindor? And I think the answer is probably yes.
Which is wild to say because, I mean, Joe on the chat says something pretty smart. Normal DH players don't steal 50-plus bases.
That's right. And listen,
which that is a lot of bases.
I'm not arguing that Shohei shouldn't win it. He should 100% win it. I mean,
yeah.
I am all for the position player deserving more respect. But when a guy goes out and puts up the kind of numbers that Shohei did, stealing bases, and by the way, he's going to pitch next year. I'm more interested to see how pitching every fifth day will affect the offensive side of things, but I digress. He definitely is deserving. I think that's why I think he's going to win it. I just have my questions on whether it would be closer if it wasn't Shohei.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with him winning because obviously he was great again.
On the American League side, is it more interesting than we think?
Aaron Judge, Juan Soto, and
Aaron
Bobby
Judge
Witt Jr.
didn't swing the bat well.
Down the stretch and to start the season. He got hot in the middle. Juan Soto was pretty steady throughout the year. Bobby Witt Jr., even though he was my fantasy player that won me a championship, I mean, I watched him close this year, and there was a stretch, I think it was right after the All-Star break, that he was hitting like 400 in the month of July.
It was stupid, like the whole month.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was crazy.
He won't get close.
Because he's playing in Kansas City.
New York.
And I think Bobby Witt Jr. is going to be on the MVP stand, you know, hopefully
sure,
a few more
for
times.
For sure. He's a special, special talent. It's just interesting as you bring that. Speaking of Soto, Mr. Steinbrenner, the owner for the Yankees.
Oh, yes, I do, yeah.
Had a, quote, good meeting with Juan Soto. I thought it was interesting that apparently in the meeting with the Mets, Soto asked about the facility and things of that nature, and how they were going to improve it.
What?
What?
No, I get why he's asking that. It's kind of weird that he's like, before I sign with you, what are your construction plans for the future?
Think about it. If you're going to spend the next 7, 8, 9, 10 years.
You want to be set up for success.
You want to be set up for success. I'm assuming he's asking that because the Yankees got a good setup over there.
And Steve Cohen, owner of the Mets,
it's not like he can make it happen. If you're going to pay me all this money, I would assume you kind of want my input on some of this stuff. I thought that was interesting.
Where do you think he's going to go?
I think it's going to be Mets or Yankees.
I don't think he's going back to the Yankees.
You don't think he's going back to the Yankees?
No, just from what they seem very nervous about it, which tells me that they don't even have the upper hand at all. Being the in-house team right now for him,
I think what they do have is a team he knows is good enough that can go back where he just came from. The Mets, they had a good season last year. They got hot right at the end. They climbed in there. They got some holes to fill, right? Manaea's a free agent. Pete Alonso's a free agent. I mean, it certainly could be a Lindor Soto show. It certainly wouldn't be terrible for the Mets, but I think the Yankees are better set up.
What about the Rays? I know they checked in on when he asked about the facilities with the Rays, what did they say?
I'm sure he asked about the facilities for the Rays at this point.
He was like, do you guys have a roof? Kristen says Soto to Boston.
Boston was pretty excited about their meeting. I love reading the tea leaves after a meeting
is done. They're so weird.
It's so funny to try to figure out who put this message out, like if it's on the Soto side, if it's on the team side.
Yeah, who leaked this.
Who leaked it, right? But it would be interesting. Red Sox certainly are a team that in the past has spent money in these type of free agents. It feels like they haven't done it in a little while.
Does that park? That park doesn't really work. I guess there is a short right field over there.
It's a Pesky's pole over down there.
Yeah, I guess so.
And
you
got the little bandbox in left field.
That has to be something that he's thinking about.
That man can make a healthy living just going Apple Taco in Boston.
Rod said, I hear a lot of rumblings about Soto in Houston.
Houston. It's another good place. He's got fond memories of hitting in that place.
That's true. That's very true. He won a World Series in
that
place.
Yes, he did.
And he hit a home run in Game 7.
It's a fun place to hit,
I believe.
Fun place to hit, fun place to play.
The juice box.
You get a dome. Was it Delkin?
Dakin. Yeah.
I'm going to get it right before the season starts.
It's an air conditioner company. You better be up to date on that.
So you can't have no air conditioning problems in that stadium.
Oh, that would be so embarrassing.
That's all bad. All right, let's get to break.
Sports Court.
Sports Court on the other side. More Gwen and Chris. Order! Welcome to the Gwen and Chris courtroom. The Honorable Chris Ello out. The Honorable Matt Scraby in.
Oh, wow.
I look ridiculous in this wig.
Absolutely
ridiculous. As good as Tony and Chris look in these wigs, I look that bad.
Yeah. You look like you're having a very bad hair day.
It actually won't fit over my hair.
Your head's too big.
My head is too big. So that's why it's like sitting on top of my head. It's not covering my entire head. Man.
Well, nonetheless, we have ourselves a sports court. Let's get right to it.
Do you have a sports issue, San Diego? Do you need a third party to make a decision? The guys have put on their robes and picked up their gavels.
All rise. Here comes the judge.
Gwen and Chris Sports Court starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
Tony's got his gavel.
Order!
All right. I feel ridiculous in this wig, but...
You should, because you look ridiculous.
I kind of look like Chris's dog a little bit. Kylie?
No, Kylie catches strays. She ain't done nothing to nobody. You over here taking shots.
All right. So Sports Court is, recently I've been going to Reddit to find problems that we can help out with. So if you have any problems out there, sports-related problems, you can email me at matt.scraby@odyssey.com, or you can go to my Twitter, Instagram, at Matt Scraby. But today we got two from Reddit, and we got one that was sent to me. And we'll get to it in just a second. If you love Mediterranean food, try Spiro's for authentic Mediterranean cuisine in Coronado or La Jolla. For dining or takeout options, visit Spiro's Cuisine.com. First one. This is a Reddit post. I play on a co-ed softball team with my wife, some friends, and some people we both just met when the season started. I'm not trying to sound like I'm not confident in my marriage. I am. But there is one dude who seems to be maybe flirting with my wife. For example, in the last game we played, he asked her if she wanted to go warm up with him. I'm all good with her warming up with other people, but really? Very strange to me to ask another guy's wife to warm up before the game. There are single women on this team. In another instance, she was playing first base and he was giving her tips on how to dig out grounders. Not touching her or anything, but acting like he is some expert. I brought it up to her and she doesn't think it's anything. She thinks he's just trying to be nice. But we all know what that nice guy is really trying to do.
Do we?
Tony, should I say anything to the guy?
This can be in the courtroom, first of all. This is a legal binding argument. Yeah, it is. I think you. I don't know that there's been anything egregious enough for you to shake things up. You know what I'm saying? The warm-up thing, I could see, but little tips at first base, how to pick. You could have given your wife some tips.
Wait, you could see him seeking out your wife to go play warm-up?
No, I'm saying I could see that kind of ruffling your feathers, or at least raising your eyebrow a little bit, like,
I see you.
I'm watching this cat.
Yeah,
right?
What are you doing over there?
But, you know, after that, those are the two, the example, the next example after that, giving some instruction how to dig a ball out of the dirt, no touching. You know what I'm saying? So I'm going to say it's too early.
Too early.
Too early to bring something up.
Well, I'm going to disagree with you.
Of course you are.
Here's why. When I was in college, I was dating this girl, and there was a guy in one of our classes that would always sit next to her, knowing that she was dating me, and I kept telling her, hey, this dude...
Your radar was... going
off
immediately.
Oh, my goodness. And I kept telling her, I don't like it because this guy keeps sitting next to you. He keeps asking you to go hang out and go to clubs and stuff.
Okay, see, this is different, though.
But here's the thing. So eventually, guess what happened, Tony?
What happened?
This guy cornered her in a bar one night and told her that he really liked her and he doesn't think that I'm good for her and all this other stuff. She, to
Dirty
her credit,
Mackin is
immediately came to me and told me that.
Okay.
And you know what I did? I immediately went to him and I said, stay away from her. She doesn't want anything to do with you. And you know what he did?
Stayed away?
Somewhat.
Somewhat. It kind of stayed away.
There was another text message about going out to a bar and she didn't even respond to the text.
Well.
In the end, we broke up. And I didn't need to be that crazy. But what I'm saying is you got to watch this guy.
Yeah, no doubt. I definitely think there should be some eyeballs on my guy. But I don't think that he's done anything egregious enough for you to make it uncomfortable for you and your significant, who I assume you both enjoy playing this co-ed softball. He gets a little too, you know, you ain't going to be able to show up again. I just don't think he's done anything yet.
You know what I would do, actually? This is a total me thing. If he was like, hey, do you want to go warm up? I would be like, oh, no, I'll warm up with my wife. Hey, honey, you want to go warm up?
I mean, yeah, part of this is on my man. Like,
he's got to know.
Your wife can warm up with you, you know, but you somehow let that one slide. You could have gave her some tips on how to pick a ball out of the dirt.
Hey, honey,
let that one slide.
I'll just pick the ball out of the dirt.
Yeah.
Someone called this guy Quagmire on the chat, which is very true. He's very giggity.
Does have
giggity.
A little Quagmire.
A little giggity giggity. All right, that's our first case. We didn't really solve anything, but I say go for it and talk to him.
Yeah, we don't have a third.
No, but the chat is kind of saying keep an eye on this guy.
Yeah, definitely keep an eye. I'm with that.
All right,
but I don't know if you can. You can't shake it up though yet. Not yet.
I may buy into that. Although I really want to say something, I may do it. For friendliness, anyway.
Whatever
I'm thinking
that
about.
Means.
Yeah, I don't know what that means either. This next one. I am a Jets fan, and so is my wife. The Jets are a mess right now and really have been a mess my entire life. I always envisioned my son being a Jet fan with us, but we've been talking about not buying our newborn son any Jets gear. We want him to choose his own team so he doesn't follow in our footsteps. The problem? My in-laws. They might be the biggest Jets fans in the world. They are very upset at the thought of this, but I can't budge even... They're very upset at the thought of this, but I can't budge even though they said they're going to make sure our son goes to Jets games with them. So I'm up first. Do I tell my in-laws to mind their own business? This is a little bit difficult for me because I'm not married and I don't have in-laws, but I have dealt with parents before, and this is difficult, but I think it's in your right to tell them that you do not want them to your child to be forced into being a Jets fan. You want your child to be able to choose whatever team you want. Can they go to games with you, Grandma and Grandpa? Absolutely. But please don't make them a Jets fan. I say something, but be very nice and tiptoe around everything. Tony?
I think this is not worth the drama that can come from it.
Really?
Listen, the kid has parents that are Jets fans. His grandparents are Jets fans. Even if you want to give him or her, is it a boy or girl?
Son.
The son the right to pick. He's going to grow up in a house of misery right now of Jet fans.
Yeah.
So maybe that is the key to making him not a Jet fan. It's not trying to give him choices. Just let him be around you as a Jet fan because it's pretty miserable. And I would imagine a young man is going to pick up on that misery and want to go in a different direction.
Are you a Lakers fan because of your dad?
Yes.
See, it's very tough.
It's very rare that you grow up in a household full of a team and somehow don't end up a fan of that team.
Okay. Yeah, true.
Regardless of what you try, most parents probably are forcing it down their kids' throat. Although I didn't force it down mine's, although I talk Lakers and Lakers only.
So they only know. They're like, there's other teams.
Right. Exactly. That's up to them to go do the research.
You know, when I was growing up, I was a massive 49ers fan. Doesn't surprise you. My brother was like, he was
anti?
A Cowboys fan.
Oh, okay.
And then he was a Titans fan.
Oh, he's a fair weather.
He's a switcher.
It's a bandwagon hopper.
And then once he became a little bit older, he lived here most of his life. He was a big Chargers fan.
I feel that.
But just to be a Cowboys fan, I wish my parents would have told him that he needed to be a 49ers fan because that was ridiculous. So what are we saying here? You're saying don't say anything. I say something. I'm going to go with Tony because Tony has in-law experience.
Yeah, don't say anything. It ain't working.
Okay. All right. I can imagine that being pretty awkward. Last one. This may be more of a question for Scravy, but I have a friend group that is the drunk of the group. I mean,
it's just automatically a Scravy question.
It's
huh?
a Scravy question. I understand this guy. I mean, this dude is 37 and he is still blacking out on Sundays and having to stay on my couch. I'm not married or anything, but I am really getting tired of inviting him over just for him to get wasted and make a fool of himself. I care about the guy and I care about his health. But do I need to tell him he can't come over if he drinks? We've had the talk a few times about his drinking, but he's done nothing about it. I can't sit and watch him throw away his life anymore. Tony, what would you do?
This is a serious one. I think you should go first on this.
Oh.
I think I know what you're going to say, having listened to you and kind of... I used to say you had a black heart. But you explained to me that that is part of being direct and...
To the point.
Honest and
no
to the point.
Punches.
Is kind of part of your therapy.
It is.
So I'll let you go first.
Because
I have a feeling this is going to get right to the point.
Yeah. I say you tell him he can't come back until he gets his drinking under control. And when he says, hey, man, I'll only have two beers. No, you can't come back. That's it. If this has been a thing that's been going on for a long time, the only way to break the cycle is by telling him that his drinking is so bad it's affecting their friendship. This situation wasn't me necessarily, but I went to a Super Bowl one time and I got wasted. And my friend's wife wouldn't let me come back until I stopped drinking. And he had to have that talk with me, and he did. And to his credit, it helped turn me around because I was making a lot of people mad. But this guy clearly is having some issues. I say be firm and tell him he cannot come over until he stops drinking or does something about it. And you'll be there for him, but you will not be there for him if he's drinking.
That's where I felt like you were going to go. I'm going to lean on your experience on this. Okay. This is a pretty clean-cut case.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, order.
Order. He cannot come back over until his drinking is under control.
Coming up on Thursday's show. I started the thing on accident. Yeah, I mean, I said, the wife kicked me out. That was one of the hardest things for me to get past because she didn't want anything to do with me because I was making a fool of myself. I was spilling things. I was just being a bad house guest.
Yeah.
And that took me years to get back in with her. We're good now. I'm almost 8 years into my no drinking, but him saying to me, "You cannot come over," did help.
When is the 8 years?
December 5th.
Oh, so, man, we're coming up on
2 weeks, yeah.
Quickly.
Yeah, 2 weeks.
That's awesome.
All right, can we get will the break so I can take this stupid ring off?
It is itchy as hell.
It's hot.
We will definitely celebrate that on the 5th when that day comes. Let's get to break. We'll finish off with the interview Jesse and I and Scraby did earlier, a little Major League Baseball TV talk. 5:38 on the clock. Tony Glendrew, Matt Scraby. Coming to the end of our show. Got a interview with Jesse Agler that quite interesting. You'll get to hear that here shortly. But I think the phrase of the show today is sundress.
You mean...
Scraby decided to tell us earlier that he was browsing sundresses earlier in the show.
No,
that's not what you said?
Yeah, I mean, I did use the word sundress, but...
How did you use it?
I was saying we're on Instagram. Oh, you could clear out everything. And I said, great, now I don't have to look at all those sundress ads.
Because somehow his algorithm had him...
I'm not
on
kidding.
Sundresses.
I've never clicked on a sundress ad.
Oh, okay. You may not have clicked on a sundress ad.
I may have hovered over it for a little bit, and that's how they got me.
If that's what you want to call it, fine by me.
Yes.
All right, let's check some traffic and then get to our interview today.
Connector ramp that's blocking the left lane of that ramp. Looks like they're still clearing this accident on the Civic Center on-ramp to westbound 78. And Kelly Danik with Gwen and Chris, San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
None other than my partner, Jesse Agler, enjoying some off time as I am. Jesse, how are you, my friend?
I'm good. It's got to be Scooble, right? Like, that one's not going to be all that close.
I don't think it should be, but, you know. And, you know, based on all the other votes, it probably will go exactly as we're talking about. Scooble wins.
Can I get myself in trouble, like, right off the bat?
Yeah, go ahead. Please, why not?
So I'm looking at the Merrill one the other day, and, like, the line-by-line of who voted for whom, right? And, Tony, you know, you and I both, we are very aware of the media landscape in baseball. We read every person who writes every word about this stupid sport. I can't tell you how many of those voters I had never heard of.
There we go.
You know what's funny is we said the same thing yesterday. The ones I did know disappointed me a little bit. But, you know, that's...
Like, I read everything written about this stupid sport. Everything. All season long. And, like, there should not be that many names that were unrecognizable to me. And I'm not trying to, like, you know what, all over the BBWAA, because I think they've gotten much, much, much better in the last, call it, like, 8, 9, 10 years than they used to be with this stuff. You know, especially when it comes to the Hall of Fame. They've kind of weeded out some of the silliness. But, like, I don't know, man. Like, these awards, especially now that they're tied into things like draft picks and all that, like, we got to be a little bit more serious about, I think, who's doing this. And I mean, I don't know. It's their organization, it's their award, but because MLB is using it to determine real things with real consequences, I think a little introspection might be in order.
Yeah, only seven first place votes seems a little unserious when it boils down to 30 teams. Just saying.
Yeah.
Let's talk a little bit about that particular scenario, right? I think Jackson, as much as we talked about it, and it was funny how it kind of broke down, right? I mean, he didn't really come onto the national stage, ironically, until the start of that road trip in Pittsburgh, where he had the walk-off or the late inning heroics in Pittsburgh and in Miami. And then you come back home, and he continues to do the same thing he's been doing all year, but you're not on East Coast time. You're not necessarily having seventh, eighth, ninth inning heroics every single night. And it just, you could, as we played out that season, just you can kind of just feel the air kind of slowly seeping out the balloon, if you will, as we got further away from the East Coast. Because remember, we finished the year, the last 2 weeks was all West Coast, I believe.
Yeah, I mean, you would love to say that that's not a factor, but it is. Especially, again, when you're considering who's voting for this stuff, and it's not people who are, like, necessarily locked in on, you know, Major League Baseball every night until 1 o'clock in the morning in New York when Jackson's games would end. You know, when I first came to San Diego over a decade ago, I would always roll my eyes when people would talk about, oh, the East Coast bias and, you know, da-da-da-da-da. But now, with experience and life lived here, oh, yeah, it's a real thing. And, and it's not that they don't like West Coast teams or West Coast players. It's that they are not exposed to them as much as they are exposed to the East Coast players because of, as we just said, like time zones. I mean, it's kind of like a simple, you know, problem or a simple solution to an elegant problem, I guess, because Jackson should have been, to me, having watched as much baseball as I did this year, I saw it as like a coin toss. Like, if we're being totally intellectually honest about it, I thought it was a coin flip kind of decision between he and Skeens. Very different, obviously, in terms of what they do and how they go about it. But, like, when you really consider the true value of a starting pitcher and you really consider what Jackson did, like, I had it as a toss-up. And so for it to be as lopsided as it was in regards to those first-place votes you brought up, it doesn't add up, and I think that's got to be a big piece of it.
So, Jess, what are we missing? Are our eyes biased? Because we made the point about, you know, East Coast, West, or East Coast bias. But when you look at the vote breakdown, there were plenty of folks here on the West Coast that got to see him a lot more than the folks on the West Coast did. I think it was four guys. Two in Arizona. Was it two in Arizona?
We're talking the East Coast, right?
No, we're talking West Coast.
We're talking West Coast. I did the East Coast counting.
I don't
so keep
know
going.
Why. I believe it was two in Colorado, two in Arizona. Are our eyes being biased here? Because clearly, the folks here out on the West saw the same thing.
Yeah, I think. Look, the numbers speak for themselves. Like the, you know, are we biased towards him? Yeah, of course. We interact with him on a day-to-day basis. We both think he's a great kid. You know, we talk to his parents, for goodness sake.
Right,
so, like,
right.
Of course we have our own bias. And I'm not going to, like, put any of that aside. You know, but, like, the numbers that he put up, the numbers that are going to be on his baseball reference page forever for the 2024 season and are on the back of his rookie card, those are legit. Those are legit. And look, he finished second. Let's not act like he was left off the ballot.
Right,
you know, there was a recognition around the country that, you know, he had a great season. So I don't want to act like Jackson's not getting any credit or anything like that, because I don't think that's the case. But look, man, storylines matter.
Yes.
Narratives matter.
Yes.
And when Skeens came out to make his major league debut in May, it was like a really big deal, right? When Jackson made his major league debut, it was 3 o'clock in the morning in Los Angeles, and we were on the other side of the world.
Right.
And it wasn't that, oh, all eyes were on him. It was all eyes were on Shohei Ohtani. Of course, the eyes that were actually opened, which were not many of them because for whatever reason, MLB wanted to play that game in the middle of the night local time. So, you know, just from that standpoint, you kind of got off to different starts. Jackson had to sort of earn the early season recognition, whereas Skeens, it was ready made, right? It was turnkey. The very second he took the mound for his major league debut, which I think was at Wrigley. I remember watching it in some hotel somewhere. You know, it was already a big deal. He's got the famous girlfriend. I mean, there's like a million things that go into it like that. And so, yeah, like if early in May, you're random voter X in Milwaukee, St. Louis, wherever, you know about Paul Skeens. You're probably locked into his major league debut, which was pretty impressive. You have an awareness of Jackson Merrill, but you're not following him day to day, which, of course, is much more important for a position player than it is a starting pitcher. And so, yeah, I think you put all those things in the hopper and you end up, I guess, with the result that we got.
Great segue. You mentioned Major League Baseball deciding to play that game in the middle of the night here in the States. Major League Baseball has some pretty big ideas, all really kind of surrounding 2028. I think everybody knows that there has been a bit of a hiccup, if you will. I think that's the politest way you can say it, and how the local deals have ended up turning out. Major League Baseball has this grand plan of basically at some point being able to own the rights to all the teams and kind of divvying up the way the NBA does, right? They sell a bunch of national packages, and, you know, based on the article that I read from Evan Drellich today, the rest would kind of be divvied up. ESPN kind of wants to handle the local part of it. I thought this was a fascinating story, and there's so many different tentacles that are kind of involved with this whole idea. What are your thoughts on this in terms of how this could end up working out in the end?
Yeah, I mean, it's fascinating. Like, I think you'd be very hard to make an argument that this is not the biggest story in Major League Baseball, the NBA, and the NHL.
Yeah.
The NFL obviously is on its own program. It's all national, right? There's no local telecasting. So it's kind of off to the side and doing quite fine for itself, obviously. But, you know, for those other three leagues, there is no more important thing happening right now, because those leagues have benefited greatly from what I think it's fair to call a bubble that has burst. You know, we all remember the real estate bubble and what happened, you know, two decades ago, and the changing of the economy. That's basically what's happening on a much smaller and less significant scale with these, you know, regional sports networks, which for a long time were pumping a tremendous amount of money into the teams. That bubble has burst. That money is no longer there. And so, yeah, Rob Manfred, you know, put on his little thinking cap, and he's come up with this idea. You like the visual of, like, you know, all right, if we're able to get everybody in the same pool, we can go to the Amazon, the Netflix, the ESPN, the Hulu's, whoever, right? And, you know, put these packages together that we can maybe get somewhere close to the amount of money per team that we used to get. And that sounds great, and it sounds sensible and logical, and it is. It's all of those things. It is also, as I'm sure you guys have talked about and as people have read about, extremely, extremely difficult.
Yes.
You know, I mean, because, yeah, the Padres and the Diamondbacks would say, yeah, cool, let's do it. But the Dodgers and the Yankees would laugh,
right.
You know, and probably hang up the phone before Rob finished his sentence. But that's where it is today.
Yeah.
And there are two more years, you know, before this really becomes a little bit more imminent. And what he wants to do, look, baseball is very strategic the last few years. They don't say things publicly for no reason.
Great
like
point.
This. We heard about the pitch